Do you like shows like The Boop Show?
So do I.
Head on over to patreon.com/frogpants and show your love today.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 198, for the 7th of January, 2019. Yep! Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Boop Show. Good to be here. 2019. We missed 2 weeks in a row because of the holidays. That sucked. But I'm back. Scott Johnson and Brian Dunaway over there. What's up, buddy boy?
Oh, I'm doing good, Scott. Is this our first episode of 2019?
Yeah, it is. It totally is.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. We had the poopy holidays.
Right.
Not that the holidays are poopy, but I'm just saying, like.
Well, for podcasting, it is pooptastic.
Yeah, it's no good for podcasting. If you're trying to like get your content out, may as well freaking forget it. Because
right, which is good. We need a break. I was talking earlier with my lovely fiance, and I told her it's the exact same thing. It's that usually in December, I have a little downtime, and then January comes about, and I'm ready to do the podcast again.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I'm re-energized.
This is one I've missed because I, during the holidays, I play a lot of oddball games, and I miss talking about them in a public way. And so here we are again, getting to do that finally, which is great. I'm sure I'm going to forget some of the weird stuff I played because I got a bunch of weird codes this year. And,
yeah, I played so many games over 2018. It's ridiculous. Actually, it was one of the first things I thought about because, it was, of course, the new year came about and it's like, you got to make some resolutions, Brian. You got to like improve yourself. And I was like, man, I played a lot of games last year, 3 games per episode. Before then, we was actually doing even more games than that. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like I may have to start looking like it, 2 new games every week, and then have like a one that I kind of drag out over a month.
Yeah,
because there's no way I can review Red Dead Redemption 2, which I played in just a week episode. No, I can't do that.
No. All you can do is, not that game, all you can do is impressions and say, there's that one time with the gun and the cowboy hat. That was a good time, and that's all you can do. There's so much in there. You'll have to do what you got to do. Hey, chat room's got a concern, though, real quick, we need to address. They think your hair has been cut, and I would probably say they're wrong.
No, that's right.
It's ponied.
I just got it back here in the ponytail.
Yeah, look at that, and you guys. All is well. Be comforted through this year.
It's all right.
Through these dark times, Brian did not cut his luxurious, lengthy hair.
We'll have to see.
Well,
it's 2019. Who knows?
Yet. You haven't done it yet, right?
Who knows?
I don't think you'll do it. I think you're going to keep that until you're a crotchety old fart.
Too late.
Yeah. It'd be like my Uncle Joel. My Uncle Joel has hair down to his butt. And he is like,
oh, yeah. Good old Uncle Joel.
Yeah. He's like 65 or something. 68. I don't know what
he is. Why does it get gross when it gets to your butt? I mean, running back, is it because you have concerns about, hair on hair action? Head hair, butt hair, touching.
I don't know. I mean, like, what was her name that had the really long hair in the 80s and she was popular with my mom? I can't think of her name.
Right. Crystal Gayle?
Crystal Gayle, yeah. She had hair that went all the way down to her ankles. And I always just thought, man, what if the wind kicked up and you just had, it's like a tentacle monster fighting you out in the rain. Bad idea.
Look, I live in the South and we're in the Bible Belt and being conservative, wearing conservative dress and letting your hair grow down to your ankles, that's pretty common.
I see a lot of
ladies with long hair.
Ladies with long hair, not dudes, though. Less dudes, more ladies?
I don't see that many guys around here with long hair. I don't know how it is across the rest of the country, but not a lot of guys wear long hair here.
Yeah, well, I understand that. There's some real hippies up near Park City near me.
But it's good, though, because I had long hair when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And that was during the 80s, closing of the 90s, and it was
best
still even
decade.
Then it was very frowned upon.
Best decade though, best decade of them all, right there, the 80s.
Yeah, that's right. It was looked poorly upon.
Yeah,
to have long hair. So,
well,
being a dude,
we are happy to be back, and with whatever hair we came with, Brian's as long.
You know what? I want to see some better hair tech this year from the gamers. That's what I want to see.
Oh, hair tech, interesting.
Hair tech,
okay. I was thinking I'd start, there's a trend where people wear masks while they stream so they can kind of be a character or something.
Right.
I don't think that sounds all as cool as that sounds, but maybe I should try something like that. Maybe I'll be a, so this is what you do. You start a brand new Twitch channel and then you come out swinging going, ah, I'm Crazy Monkey Face Boy and I'm going to play, blah, blah. And then you get real popular and before you know it, you're a multi-million dollar freaking ninja streamer. And,
right, because that's how that works.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's all super easy. All I got to do is have a gimmick, a catch, right?
Yeah. By the way, I'd like to make you feel uncomfortable just for a second here. I went through a box of about 400 DVDs and CDs.
Nice.
That I had a bunch of various data on, mostly art and stuff. And then I've moved that all over to local and offsite backups. No longer do I want a bunch of stuff on optical discs. Okay. Right. So this is stuff from like the early 2000s. I just had to get rid of it. I would like you to look at what I did to every one of these discs. Do you see it?
Oh my God. Let me see. Hold on a second. Let me take a look.
Can you see that?
Get over here. Oh, that is actually pretty.
It's actually like kind of weirdly pretty, but it was very cathartic. I took a, here, I'll see if I can make the sound. Here we go. Do you hear that? Here.
Yeah. What are you doing that with? Right here. Oh, a razor. Oh, be so careful with that art hand.
Look at that. Yeah, it's been fun. I had to get rid of these, and there's three ways you can do it. You can have them professionally wiped, which sounds like a pain in the butt. You can go and microwave them for like 10 seconds a pop, and it will
just
corrupt the whole thing. But I don't want to ruin my microwave or do something dumb there.
Right? Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I thought I put 10 seconds. It was a minute, and now we're all dead. Or I have to go through and like snip it all into pieces. I don't have a shredder, so I'm not going to do that. So instead, I took
they make a CD shredder.
Oh, I know they totally do. Yeah. I should get one of those. Well, now I don't need it. I've done it all. But I went through and just scratched giant grooves into everything, and I realized that maybe there's probably some way somebody could go and just like a real shredder, you could go and piece it all together. I'm not worried about it. This will stop the element that could take my information. So there you go.
Who's going to do that? Who's going to do it?
There you go. And I don't think microwaves are supposed to, I don't think that should happen. I feel like you're letting gases leak out that are probably going to give you the carcinogenic bubble.
Well, first of all, they use don't they use like a metal foil on the platters? Well,
there is definitely
layer
metal
with
in there, yeah, right? Like like a little thin, what gives it the reflection, is the little thin whatever that is. And if I broke this apart, you'd see little flecks of it everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, so this was the right way to do it. It's
I don't know about being the right way to do it. If you are watching the video feed of this podcast, which you should do on YouTube or wherever the Boop Show on the what's the address for the Boop Show?
Frogpants.com/boop. That's it.
Right. If you're not watching it, be sure to take a look and watch Scott cut that disc, and then look at Brian's face as he sweats, thinking Scott's gonna slice his hand open. And it's right here on the show, and I'm going to have to call somebody.
No, you made me nervous just talking about it just now.
Right.
I'm going to move this blade over here. and also, it's funny, my wife thought the way to do it was to take magnets and rub it on the CDs. And I said, now you're not far off. That's what you might do to like a hard drive or something. Even then, it's not the most...
a magnetic drive.
Yeah.
Right.
But she was going to take it and just rub all the CDs with a magnet. And I said, no, that's not going to cut it.
Just give them to any 5-year-old, and they'll be ruined in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, all kind of boogers on there. It'll be fantastic.
Right, they'll scratch that thing right up.
Well, we're here to scratch up your life with some rad video game talk and talk about the games that we've been playing since we last spoke over 2 weeks ago. Brian, I'd like to begin with a little game that you can only get currently in any form by heading on over to the Epic Game Store. And playing yourself or getting yourself a copy of the $20, the current price. Ooh, listen to some of this audio right here. Wait.
Penitence, reminding us of the inevitable fate which we all share.
Oh, he's so good. That's the guy from The Bastion narrator. Anyway, the game is called Hades. And it is a very stylistic view of the myth, the mythology that exists around Greek mythology, in particular the realm of Hades. Hades, of course, being kind of the overlord of death and all his business. And then you got a lot of the other people that show up as well. You end up with some stuff from Zeus. You get things from other gods in the pantheon of gods and the Greek gods. And you, Cerberus is basically your pet. Your dad is Hades. He sits on a big throne like a big a-hole. And it's just a total butt squeeze. And the game is all right. I don't know how to explain this except I'm going to tell you the most dumb possible description. Okay, you ready?
Give me the dumbest possible description of Hades.
So this is Supergiant Games. They're known for Bastion, Pyre last year, year before that, or 2 years before that. They did, what was that one called?
Supergiant Games.
Yeah, Supergiant Games. What did they make? What was that game? Second game. Come on, help me, chat room. Come on.
It would be I can't remember either. Wait, it's the transistor.
Transistor. Thank you. Jeez. Transistor. Pyre was last year. Transistor was before that. All right. So they, if you play their games at all, you know that they are meticulous, even in their first game, Bastion, when it comes to polish and quality and amazing sound work and incredible music, narration, story elements, control, just it feeling like a, just a grand adventure, no matter what you're doing, that sort of stuff. They make really cool games. And I've gotten to the point now where I trust them kind of sight unseen. And that's what I did with Hades. I really didn't know a lot about it. I didn't know what was going on here. Here's what it is in a nutshell. It is as if Diablo, Dead Cells, and I had another example. What was my other one? Oh, here it is. If Diablo and Dead Cells had a threesome with all the other Supergiant games, and that's what you end up with here. This is the baby of that, that tryst. And it's really, really good. It scratches all my itches. Now, I am going to say early and up front, if you don't like games like Dead Cells, where you approach it and it's hard and you die sometimes, but when you go back, you upgrade abilities and weapons and things. Right, in this case, you unlock additional weapons and update your abilities when you're back in Hades, in basically your bedroom. It's this great, amazing art in this room. Anyway, you talk to this mirror, and the mirror lets you apply these points you earn in your last fight. And then you go back out. Now you've got plus one to health, or you can kill dudes faster from the rear than it would be from the front, or whatever it is. and then while you're out there fighting, something will drop. Like you'll walk into a room, and Zeus, his symbol, his big old freaking symbol will come down on the floor and just go... boom, and just like land on the ground. And then you walk up to it and you click it and it says, all right, I'm going to give you an upgrade. And it has great dialogue, like Zeus and who's the water one?
You were talking about Triton.
Yeah, that guy. Why can't they even do his name tonight?
I don't know.
Anyway, they'll go.
Why can't you remember your gods? Come on, Scott.
They'll go, hello, boy. Welcome to the thing. I'm your uncle, whatever. Poseidon, that's it, Poseidon.
Poseidon, Neptune, the water guy. Aquaman, you got it.
Neptune,
chat room.
Neptune is the Roman one, yeah.
Right.
They're pretty close. But anyway, so he says, I've got a thing for you. And then he throws up three randomly chosen buffs to your abilities. And they're all designed to be like pushback abilities, the way that water would be pushback. So it's kind of a water-based kind of ability. And sometimes they're rare, sometimes they're common, and sometimes they're epic. That means that sometimes you're going to get a chance to have one of these temporary buffs that is amazing for the time that you're in that fight. And it's only good for the time you're in that run, okay? It doesn't stick with you after. Those other abilities in your room stick with you forever. But the stuff in the game from the different gods, those are like temporary buffs. And all the levels are 100% randomly generated. So the things I would say it has in common with Diablo is everything's procedurally created and different every time you play it. Beautiful art sets that just make up this incredible space. And it's over-the-head isometric perspective on your character. And when you beat the creatures or you beat the waves that are in there and you're about to go to the next room... you often have a choice. You'll either have one door to leave through or a choice of a couple of doors. The one you choose depends on what the icon is and what you're looking for. So one of them might be, oh, if I go this way, it's this icon represents Zeus's blessing. So that means when I get in there, I'll get to stack another buff on my dude. And he'll be even better than
then
he was
before. Buffer dude.
Yeah,
right.
Then he'll be buffer dude. The same thing is true of one of them might be just, oh, this that's got a gold symbol. So if I go in there, there's just going to be more gold to earn. Right. And I'll get a bonus for gold, or at the end of it, it'll be about gold. Sometimes there are rooms where there's no combat at all, and there's like some weird god who wants to sell you something or give you an upgrade while you're in there. You can buy some health back, that kind of stuff.
And I mean, times I'm just questing, and a weird god shows up and wants to sell me something. It's just,
it happens all the
more
time.
More often than I like to admit, at least anyway.
It's probably happening right now, and you don't even know it. That's how much it happens.
Right. So this is Hades early access, only $20 on the Epic Game Store. Epic has been making good use of their Fortnite money. Yeah. And I'm interested in this. It's a beautiful
awesome.
What is this art style called? We see this art style a lot lately, and I just can't really place the word or the name on this art style.
Well, there's a very pen and ink quality to it, but it's also extremely colorful. Yeah. Yes. So especially when you look at the place in Hades where he's rebirthed out of this pool of blood, which is happening right now for the chat room if they're watching this, the artwork is very stark black and white ink type base art, but then just very colorful in terms of the color treatment for it. And I love it. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Darkest Dungeon, that style.
Right.
This is less chunky. This is a little less, I can't think of a better word than chunky, but if you play Darkest Dungeon, you're like, oh man, this stuff is like big, thick, heavy, black, and
right
stuff like that. There's some of that here, but this is a little bit more refined.
It looks like a comic book, like if someone was a illustrated comic book, it looks like it's come to life.
Yeah, they're artists that they have there. It's a small team, but the guys that are doing their art stuff there are top shelf as far as I'm concerned. They're really top shelf.
Another comic reference. Good job.
Yep. And it's not, you may look at that main character, Hades' son, Zacharias, or whatever his name is, Zagoras, and say, oh, he looks like an anime character. They're not really like anime characters. Not that's a bad thing, but they're not what you might first think when you look at them.
What's the atmospheric music and sound like?
It's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's the same dude what did the previous games. Hold on.
With mixed emotions. Like
Sebastian? Let me turn this up. Here you go.
From purest joy to deepest melancholy.
That's even that narrator from Bastion.
I love the narrator from Bastion. He's really good. That's great.
So here's some music. We'll get some music going. Maybe. But right now, it's just very atmospheric.
You have come home.
Oh, it's
Do not despair. Nix. And hold to your resolve, child. Tell me something.
That's so cool. They just, that stuff is cool, man. Just cool. It's a cool vibe and atmosphere.
But how does it feel playing? Do you feel like you're a badass in Hades, or do you feel like you're running around like trying to hide from
No. You are head on fighting. You got to go out there and fight. It's like Dead Cells that way. You don't avoid combat. You want to fight. Right. So far, the shield of the weapons that I like the most, I think I like the shield the most. The arrow is pretty nuanced but tricky. You can take a sword in there, and the spear I haven't unlocked yet, but I'm getting close. You unlock those with keys that you earn over time. And eventually you have all the weapons. And there's also slots for additional weapons, but those haven't shown up yet. So I don't know if those just aren't in the game yet or if they come later after I've done something. I don't know. But you are a badass in this world, and it feels really tight. The control is real good. I would put it on par with the kind of feeling you get with Dead Cells. The difference between this and Dead Cells, obviously, is Dead Cells is this two-dimensional side view sort of, you know, Castlevania-looking thing.
But the
fundamentals are very similar. And I stop short of saying this copies that, because all the roguelikes copy each other. I mean, even Dead Cells has 12 games I could point to and say, oh, they got their ideas from these other things. But this is a different perspective, obviously, and a different feel. It doesn't feel like I'm just playing Dead Cells again, I guess I should say, which is already a badass game. But this is so cool, and I think for $20, it's absolutely worth it. For those who are like, oh, I don't want to buy anything off the that's not on Steam, I would remind you this is actually good for the devs to get it over there because they get 84% of the profit, not 70% the way that they would on Steam. If you're really picky about that and just can't stand the idea of an additional launcher, which I don't really have a problem with, just it runs.
It was back in the day, a few years back, when everybody was wanting to make their own launcher and they really weren't given any value. It was just like, oh, well, here's our game. If you want to play our game, you got to do it through our little interface. And if you don't like that, we'll let you launch it out of Steam and then we'll launch our client. And as it's a hassle for us as users, Epic is actually curating a very nice little area, giving away free games every 2 weeks. Yeah. And I've been impressed so far. I'm not saying they'll keep me happy, but I haven't seen any reason to not do it. The client is very light. Loads very quickly. And it's just
It's real simple. Of course, they're simple. They don't have the offerings Steam has, not even close.
No.
They don't have They don't have forums. They don't have a review system yet, really, as far as I know. They don't have a lot of that stuff. So they are moving.
And as long as that Fortnite money keeps coming in, they're gonna keep doing.
My thing is they're giving a bigger cut to the devs, and I think small developers deserve my support for that. So if I'm spending 19 here or 19 later on Steam when it goes there, I'd rather do it here and now, get them their money. If this shows up on Switch, I'm getting it again because it's totally gosh, perfect Switch game.
You won't be able to, according to the verbiage here on the website on Epic Games, it says a PC exclusive on Epic Games Store through December 2019. So if you want to play that this year, looks like you're going to have to get it here.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's everyone else is missing out if you're not, because it's good. And that's where I'll play Rebel Galaxy, because they have a similar deal planned. I already love that series, and I can't wait for the sequel, so that's coming out there. There was another one that I just picked up. Ashen I picked up. I was going to talk about that today, but it requires a little more time, so I'm going to talk about it next week.
Right.
But I also picked up Ashen on that store. It's exclusive there for now. None of these guys are staying there forever as 100% long-time exclusives. They'll go to other stores just like every other game in the world does. But these are like deals up front to get a little extra money. They get the better split. It'll end up on Steam. So if you're really hardcore about, I can't play it unless it's on Steam, good news, everybody. Next year, right around now, you'll get to play it on Steam. But for me,
is anybody like that who listens to this show? I mean, I think we're pretty diverse here.
Maybe.
Would you say?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean,
maybe
somebody listening right now I was talking to John, a friend of the program, John Jagger, who does other podcasts with me.
He's
loathed by anything over there, but he has his own reasons. Like, someone's always trying to hack his account, and he doesn't know why. And he forgot his password, and he's gonna go find his password. And he doesn't have 2-factor authentication set up, and like, there are all of those issues. For me, it was just log in, enable 2-factor.
I had no issues whatsoever.
No, just enable 2-factor.
Now, for the longest time, I had the worst trouble with Battle.net. Just every time, and it's like I just never get it to work right. But I haven't had that in a while.
Well, and that's the other thing is that I would tell him and people like him, you've got Battle.net, so you're already doing this. It's just in your head that you shouldn't or something. I don't know what the deal is, but I don't have a problem with it. As long as they stand behind their products, I don't care. And I think that Epic's got the money in the background and everything else to do it, and they really want to make a strong move into this space. So of that being said, game's rad. It scratches all the itches I have for this sort of thing. It was very, very nice to discover it that way. And my faith has continually been well spent with the fine people at Supergiant Games. They've never let me down.
Yeah.
So go get it. Available now on the PC. If it ever ends up on the Switch, I will get it again. Because it'll be totally
worth it. Looks like
it.
A great Switch game.
No, it'd be great. I just want to take it with me. I want to carry it. I want to have it in bed. I want to be on the shitter, as they say. You know? And
Scott, can I borrow your Switch? Oh no, I remembered all those times you told me you played it on this chair.
Sure. Chat room's bringing up other launchers shitster. People hate. People don't like the Ubisoft launcher, the Uplay launcher.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Ubisoft launcher either. That was the one that had the worst taste in my mouth. It was just so heavy and just
try it now. It's nothing now. It's like a little crappy thin client. It doesn't even matter anymore. What I didn't like with them is either put up or shut up. Like either make everybody use it or don't use it at all. Instead, you got this weird hybrid make it work on Steam, runs as a separate layer. Like, that's stupid. Just either make people go over there the way Bethesda is, the way freaking Call of Duty did with the Battle.net launcher, EA's. Blizzard already. Go there and do it, like Origin. Origin's another good example. Or don't do it at all. But the thing is, I was using Uplay the other day because somebody gave me a code for Wildlands. Maybe in the chat, actually, right now.
You got Wildlands?
And it's no problem. It's fine. It's not a problem to run it from there. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Launch it where you launch it. Delete it where you delete them. Uninstall. What I like are the ones that give me the most options. Right now, Steam gives me the most options. I'm not going to run away from Steam for any of these. This isn't a brand loyalty thing. It's just, does Steam give me an option to do returns? Yes. Are they fair? Yes. Do they run sales all the time that benefit me? They absolutely do. Do they have forums and guides and discussion stuff that all the other platforms really don't have? Yes. Like they're kind of way up out there in terms of feature set, but I have no problem if somebody else wants to come along and provide a good thing for me to play and not ruin my life with a launcher that makes my computer crash. It doesn't do that. Good enough. Right. It installed. I played it. I paid the same way I pay on Steam. It's no big deal. So anyway, bottom line for me, Hades, great game, will be in my list of 2019 games, although I guess technically it came out in 2018. But only in early access.
You know what? You're right.
It's early access. So when they go full release the way that Dead Cells did.
There you go. It is early access. So that you're right. That does count. Yeah. So I think it will be 2000.
I played Dead Cells in like 2016. So I played like an alpha of that. But I didn't count it until the release year, which is 2018. So that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I remember I had trouble with this at the end of last year because I was like, man, I played so many great games in 2018. But not all of them come out in 2018 because you got this delayed release on different platforms. Mm-hmm. And I was playing some games, you know, on different devices like Switch. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I never played the game before, but now this is on the Switch. I'm playing it and it feels like a release year release to me.
Yeah.
So
it's good that way.
That all those lines are kind of blurring a little bit too.
Yeah. It's all good though. Check it out.
It's all
Hades. Brian, tell me about Gris.
You said it right, Gris, like Chris. It is. It apparently means gray. I did not know that, but that was the point. When you start out in Gris, which, by the way, is a beautiful, beautiful game visually. The music is fantastic. The movement, the animation, everything is just aesthetically pleasing and just sucks you right into the world. If you're looking at the snaps of Gris, you're probably thinking, oh, this looks like it plays like Journey or something. And that's kind of the idea. The developers, Nomada, is that right?
Nomada who it is. So I don't know.
Nomada. Yeah. Those guys, they don't apologize at all. They say, yeah, that's where we were influenced. We wanted to make a game that was going to be pleasant experience, not necessarily anything frustrating. So they tried to remove as much frustration from this game. And what Gris is a young girl lost in her despair, and she's taken this journey to try to face her demons. Mm. And so she's trying to look at these painful experiences and overcome them in a visual way. This game, I hear people talk all the time about is it art? Is it a game? Can a game be art?
Of course it can.
Yeah, of course it can. So, I mean, and this to me is more art than game because it is a platformer. Mm. It's a 2D platformer. You're going side to side. It's mostly visually looks like water painting, like watercolors. Mm-hmm. You got like these great splashes of color that just kind of blend in with the backgrounds and the foreground and everything. And as you go along, you unlock different colors that bring this world to life. Mm. As she overcomes these obstacles. So she's trying to find her way out of this depressive gray mood and into a full colorful mood. And along the way, you get to solve all these great little puzzles, jumping in between stone columns that are falling and statues that are also falling and breaking apart and then reassembling. And you're also running from this black blob that transforms occasionally into like a bird. Mm-hmm. Or eel. And it's just, man, it just came out like December 13th on 2018. Mm-hmm. And I played it all the way through. It's not a real long game, but it's not very expensive either. It's like about, you can probably pick it up, it's about $15, $17. And it's on just about every platform that I've seen. It's on, PC. It's on Xbox One. I know it's going to be on the Switch. If I would buy it again, I picked it up on the PC, I'd probably get it on the Switch. Mm. This would be an excellent Switch game. Mm. I played it with my controller on my on PC.
Yeah.
And this is called Gris, by the way. G-R-I-S.
Yep.
And I've just really been enjoying it. It is just...
People freaking out about it. Lots of talk.
Oh, absolutely. And for good reason. It's just an experience. I played most of this in the bed with my controller and my laptop, just kind of sitting there and just
nude.
Just going from one place to the next. I have my incense oil burner burning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm doing some yoga. I'm like upside down and I'm like, okay.
Is the music nice and relaxing? Chill? Is it good chilling music?
Here's
some. Here. Oh, this is her just walking. She's out in the desert. Here, I'll skip ahead some. Here we go.
So Okay. As you go along.
Oh, see, here you go. Oh, it's super relaxing.
Okay. Right. It's super chill, yo.
There you go.
But it's not always super chill, because occasionally when you get chased, mm-hmm. it gets the music amps up and it gets very exciting, but not doesn't break you out of what you're doing. Mm. As you go along, you're this little triangle shaped character, because you have a dress, and that dress is usually triangle shaped, but then you can transform after you get past certain puzzles. You can transform into a square and literally just stomp the ground. And that comes into play later, because as you start facing obstacles that are trying to blow you away, you can become heavy. You can also break through stone columns in certain areas. And it's just, like I said, that and then you're able to, I don't want to give away too much of the secrets, though, because I don't want to give away. I feel like some of the revelations and some of the powers is some of the most inspiring things to keep you going to try to discover the next thing. But that's like the first thing you learn how to do is to turn into like this block.
Yeah.
And you're just a pillar, and you just stop, and you can keep yourself from being blown away. And this is a lot of fun. But the chat room saying that it is French and that it's pronounced gris. I'm saying gris.
Oh, is it gris? Isn't that a cheese?
I don't know. They called it gris. Well, I don't know. I think that word is used in several languages, but I think their French do have that word as well. The developers, who I watched a great Devolver episode mm-hmm. on Steam, which is free. Do you ever watch any of the videos on Steam?
I've not seen them do any of that, but I hear it's good. People like it.
Right. Devolver has, if you've ever been to the Steam Devolver page, it is freaking flat out awesome. Mm. They've got a very strong presence. And I'm trying to look up the name of the video, but there is a ongoing series by Devolver where they interview the creators of the different games. Mm. And let me try to see what the actual name of it was, if I can locate it real quick. But it was very interesting and got a good look behind the scenes on what they were doing. So behind the schemes.
Oh, behind the schemes.
What the series is called. And they have Gris there, and I watched that. It was really good. So check that out on Steam. It's free. It's free. So, you know.
Oh, this is an excuse. Wait, oh, the video. A
12-minute video. Yeah, a little 12-minute video.
I thought you meant the game. Like, what? It's not free?
No, the game is not free. It's $15, and I spent about 6 hours playing it. That's on the completest end of the scale on how long to beat mm-hmm. for Gris. Mm-hmm. And I did. I pretty much explored everything. And the one thing that I was most impressed by about this game, I mean, sure, it was beautiful. The artist who does the work is that this game is inspired by is an amazing artist.
Yeah.
But the thing I was most impressed by was I never felt stuck. They create a world that always kept you going forward, even though a lot of times I was like, oh man, I'm getting over in this little area over here and this 2D platformer, and I'm like way over on this side. There's no way I'm going to find my way back. And inevitably, they always end up steering you back. It doesn't feel like they're just, you know, forcing you back there, but it really keeps you on track. I didn't get lost too many times.
That's awesome.
Yeah. By the way, there's a real astrological piece to this too. As you go along, you're not just jumping platforms, solving puzzles. You're doing it for a reason, and that reason is to collect these little shiny little stars. And you pick them up, and you'll go to the eventual area where you're going to complete the level, and it'll all lock into place, and then it'll open the next area. Usually with a really dramatic cutscene that is just beautiful.
So when the big blood cloud is chasing you, are you trying to hide from that, or what's the deal there? What's going on with that?
There's really no place to hide. But yeah, the blood cloud, the big oily black cloud that chases you, mm-hmm. you have to hold your ground pretty much. There's really no place to go to, because he will follow you wherever you go. Mm. And usually he will put himself in between your goal, you know, you and your goal. And so you'll have to find a way to get around him, or to just head straight on. So it gets real intense, because it's like they have these, when you do get between the videos, The chase scenes get really intense, but you're usually not in control at that point. But you feel emotionally like you're attached to the character because he's, you know, the character's flying and almost getting ate by the bad guy. And you're just like, when's it going to be my turn to control again? And just all of a sudden it'll send your control again. And of course, by that time you're all hyped up and then you start getting relaxed again.
Well, the game, everybody's, and even the developers have said that this is allegorical to, you know, bad depression.
Absolutely. That's the idea. Yeah. You know, life has no flavor. It's gray. It's mundane. It's depressed. And to overcome these things, it's no specific story. It's more about emotion. You know, just a generalized emotion that you would feel, and how to overcome that. Because there's no real direct correlation between, you know, solving a puzzle and fixing something that's going wrong. As a matter of fact, you can put as much as you want to in it, but really, is usually most of the things that are happening are these beautiful stone sculptures in the game that are crumbling, and then, you know, once you complete a certain task, it all becomes whole again, and that's about as much story as you get. Like I said, it's a real emotional ride, just like Journey. You know, Journey is all about the journey. It's not really about.
It's literally about Journey. Yeah.
Yeah. It's about
the band.
Journey.
It's about the band, Journey, and their fantastic songs.
I highly recommend this. And that's the problem. It came like in the middle of December, and I have no excuse. So I don't know how I'm going to put it in any of my list.
Just put in your best game I played this year that came from last year. That's fine. We can do
that. There you go. That's it.
Yeah. I have no problem with that. By the way, she's wearing what I would call a muumuu.
A muumuu. It's fun because the dress is like this big triangle, and her face is fairly well defined, but her arms and hands and legs are just like little sticks.
Yeah.
And they kind of fly outside the dress. Oh, I didn't even mention some of the really cool parts too. You can, there's a lot of upside down, puzzling that goes on where, you'll fly to the top of the screen. You'll be playing upside down for a while. And usually that's also tied in with underwater things. Mm-hmm. So you'll be underwater and you actually turn into like a, almost like a manta ray or something. And you kind of flow through the ocean and your character behaves a little bit differently there. It was, like I said, it kept me interested for 6 hours. I played all the way through.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And chat room, don't worry. Someone says, can't believe Scott didn't play a space game. Did I not play a space game?
Before you talk about that, Scott has Gris in his library. But anyway, go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, no, Brian gave it to me for Christmas. It was a very nice gift. I'm going to play it. I'm totally going to play it. Hell yeah, I'm going to play it.
Yeah, you're going to play it.
In fact, I'd be playing it on Frog Pants Plays streams if they weren't making me play that damn horror game. Warhammer Vermintide 2, also a 2018 game. That came out a while back, but it was also on sale over the holidays for about $11.
What? Yeah. I missed out because I've had this on my wish list for a while, and I guess take it off.
Should have nabbed it. It's good. Real good.
Oh, wait, it's still 60% off. How much is it right now? Hold on a second.
Oh, maybe it is cheaper still.
Oh no, it's $29.99.
Okay. Yeah, it was like $11 for the base game.
Doubt.
So me and Bo and John and Kyle, we all grabbed it. We picked up a copy of it and we decided to go kill some rats together, which is you do a lot of that in Vermintide. But if you haven't played Vermintide 1 or if you haven't played a Left 4 Dead game, then this is all going to sound new to you. But I'm going to assume a lot of you have played those games, and especially Left 4 Dead, because Left 4 Dead was a monster hit on PC. And you kind of have...
A monster hit.
You kind of have the idea. If you've played it there, you've played what is essentially the Vermintide model, which is 4 people run around, different classes with different abilities. Although I think in Left 4 Dead, you didn't really have different abilities. You're just different characters. And it was the weapons that you would pick up that would make the difference. In this game,
the zombies, in which case you had different abilities.
Yeah. That's true. If you played the multiplayer zombie bit, you could do that. This game doesn't have that as far as I know. I don't think there's a multiplayer mode, but there is this co-op multiplayer mode that's set in the Warhammer fantasy universe. Not the Warhammer 40K universe. A lot of people get those confused. The fantasy one, that both Vermintide games are based on the Vermintide lore stuff, which I don't know much about at all, except it's all very gothic and very, vampire hunter kind of style stuff. But lots of huge swords. There's a dwarf with axes. There's a mage who shoots fire on everything. and they have a conversation the whole time you're running around. There is a story in the background of running this all in order, but you don't have to even do that. You can just hop into games. You can play with randos. You can play with friends. You can play however you want. And the goals are, I think, probably obvious, but I'll explain them real quick. It's to get through hordes of enemies, get through the map, do the mechanics of the map, get to the end, and get out. And the one big thing that jumps out at me that makes this extra special versus, say, something like Left 4 Dead is it has a full loot system that's not that different than, say, you know, Diablo or other RPGs. But basically, I can, you know, have really great weapons drop while I'm on that run in the form of chests that I unlock. You can also craft your own stuff from old equipment you're not using anymore, so you can burn that stuff and then make new equipment. A little Diablo in there, I guess. And that's a great way to make better equipment and gear. So it's not just weapons. It's, you know, your armor and your clothes and all that. And that stuff's all, transmog. So it's all, you know, if you want to make it look like a thing but behave like another thing, you can do that. And it is really cool, especially with friends. Like, I cannot state enough how much fun we were having the other night. And we're not great, and I feel like we're not great, but we're okay enough to do some damage and get to the place we want to go.
And the rats are ugly.
And they're everywhere. Here's what I'd say. That's this part that they're going through in this video I'm showing the chat. It's very dark. I'm going to skip ahead. One of the things I really like about it is it makes me wish I don't want to play another MMO unless it feels like this and looks like this. Like, it's so well rendered and so fast, screaming fast on my video card. And everything is so rendered out and beautiful and just real, not realistic, but fantasy real, you know?
Right.
Just big expansive areas with crazy traversal abilities and all this stuff. The YouTube video I'm looking at right now is on a lower resolution, but when you see this thing running at 60 at 4K or whatever, your mind would be blown. I don't know why this is such a poopy version of this video, but
right. You're right though. I mean, it looks like it has a real separation of light and dark. It has a really good depth.
Yeah, great contrast. Everything feels meaty. Like when you swing a big sword at a rat zombie or whatever, it feels really good. It feels chunky and strong. And this, it may be a slow wind up, but the results are great because you just send five rats to their doom. And it's not just rats. It's a couple of different factions that are in here. People are more familiar with the Warhammer universe would probably correct me on 90% of what I'm saying about that. But that's fine. But I think it's a whole lot of fun, especially with friends. If you can get it for that price, it's a killer deal. And if you can't, well, probably still worth it. One of the more unsung games
bucks.
Of 2018.
It just came out this past year, so I mean.
Yeah, it's new.
You got this on PC, right? Is that the only place that this exists
right now? I think it's on consoles. I could be wrong about that, but I got it on PC. Right. Yeah. And there's still tons of people playing it. I'm never waiting for a game. It's always matching. It's always somebody in there going, yeah, it's like no big deal. I like it. I like it a lot. That's Vermintide 2, available now. Wherever.
What? Historical low, $3.50. That can't be right.
Where was that at?
Gamergate. Gamersgate, I've bought from them before. They usually sell, sometimes they'll sell this, the digital key. So like, let's say someone goes and buys the physical copy and then sells a digital key. Sometimes you can get it there. But it's been as low as, on average, like $15 on Green Man Gaming. And like you said, you got it over the holidays for what? Like,
$11
on $12. I was like $11.99 on Steam. Man, I hate I missed that. Yeah. Why is this
not on
my
list?
I
should have told you. I didn't know till the very last second before we played. And those guys were like, get it now. It's going to not be there very long. And I was like, oh, okay. And then we spent all our time playing it. So I wish I would have gotten you the word because $10. I mean, what? $11 is nothing. But one other thing I was going to say about it. What was it? Once you play it, you realize that You almost never want to even touch Skyrim again, because until Skyrim feels the way this feels, the way the combat feels, then everyone's doing it wrong. Like they really killed it with the combat. It feels so good. So anyway, should play it. It's awesome. It's good. Warhammer 2.
I'm really into fantasy stuff lately. I know you've been out in space lately doing some sci-fi, but I've been really into the fantasy myself.
Well, I still have one more game to go, chat room. You think I haven't talked about a space game yet? Hold on to your butts. Brian, tell us about Armello. That's a game I had back in like 2015. Tell me about this.
Yeah, yeah. Armello's been out for a while. However, it just arrived on the Switch not that long ago, and that is where I picked this up. I think I spent, I think I spent $10, like $9.99 on the some of those sales during the holidays. Got a lot of great sales this past holidays, and this is the one I picked up. It is a Armello is it is a board game, digital board game, I believe is how they described it, and I would say that's about right.
Yeah,
it feels very much like that. You got your dice and your cards, and you got your tiles and all those hexagonal tiles, and you got your fantasy creatures. Mostly the ones I'm playing, because I'm playing the original version with Armello. I have not upgraded to the deluxe edition. It has all kinds of seasons and characters that allow you to make visual changes and some gameplay changes of the game. So I'm just playing the basic bear, wolf, rabbit, rat. So when you do play this game, you can play it online. I've been playing mostly single player on my Switch because I did not invest into the Switch online service, which you have to have to be able to play multiplayer if you're on the Switch.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap for those wondering. It's like four bucks a month or something.
It's super cheap. I don't know, I haven't done it yet. I'm just not entirely. Oh, by the way, did I mention I have access to the Switch now?
Oh yeah, no, you got a Switch for Christmas or something. Whatever.
Yeah, so you'll be hearing more about Switch games.
Okay.
Armello was a great thing for me to step into because, you know, I've played plenty of I've been playing the Mario Odyssey and stuff. I wanted something like a little more indie because a lot of indie titles are hitting. Switch
chock full of them. Yeah, tons.
Yeah,
of them.
So. I was really interested. It's visually, it's great. It's this really simplistic art style that is very much like a board game, like I had said before. And man, I would love to have this as a physical board game. Mm-hmm. Give me this thing as a physical board game. But
well, that's what's funny about it. This is not a game where they said, because that happens a lot. It's like, well, here's this European board game everyone loves. It's a Battle of the Titan Folk or whatever. And then they convert it into a video game version. And now everyone sits around going, well, it's not as good as Game Boy. So like, I like the idea that this thing exists solely as a digital experience, but brings that tabletop kind of qualities to it without you having to compare it to some actual tabletop game. And I think that's kind of cool.
You're limited to four players.
Yep.
There's four corners of the kingdom. The center of the kingdom is the king, and he is suffering from the rot. He is a lion, of course.
He's a dick.
He's a dick. He's suffering from the rot, the king is. And the whole point of the game is to, standard gameplay. There's different modes, but the standard gameplay, you're supposed to move your character. You usually have three spaces you can move per turn. And you're trying to do a couple of different ways of winning. One way to win is to get to the castle and take on the king and defeat him in battle. Which is usually determined by dice that you toss digitally on the screen,
sure.
And also cards which can modify your attack and how the dice play. Mm. So there's a lot of strategy in this game. So far, I have won 0 times.
Mm.
I have played this probably about for 2 weeks now, and I have not won a single freaking game except for the tutorial. I did win there, but they let me.
Mm.
But it's a lot of it's there's a day night cycle as well, and so what happens is each day the king he suffers from the rot. One more heart health is taken away from the king, and he usually wakes up the next morning very grumpy, and he decrees usually some type of thing to befall upon the kingdom that will affect all the players or maybe just some of the players, and this is where the strategy comes into place. If you gain favor of the king, you can bend his ear to decide one of two different play types that are going to happen to the board. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'll have something that pops up that may affect all the other players, or you may say, oh, this card affects anyone who has the most gold, and I don't have any gold. And so you play that card against your foes. How you get the king's ear is by going to the different towns and taking that town over. You enter a town, which, by the way, these towns and dungeons which you can visit on each one of these tiles is randomly generated at the beginning of each game, so you don't know where they'll be at. And you get there, if you do good and you bend the king's ear, great. If not, you can head straight to the castle and storm the castle and try to kill the king.
Mm.
Of course, he has guards. He's going to try to stop you.
Mm.
I like this game. So did you play this much?
I did. I had it on PC. I also have it on iOS. I can't remember if the game or the iPad version was free to play or if it was changed to be more, freemium kind of thing. I can't remember. I'd have to look it up. But
it's probably across the board. I don't know if they sell anything other than the DLC. Mm. And the DLC is stuff like... You'll have like seasons where you can change the board because by default it's winter or summer, but you can add other seasons by doing that. And you also can add more characters if you get the DLC. I'm really interested in getting the DLC. I'm just not quite ready yet. I'm still playing the core. I want to actually win a game before I go put any money into that part of it. I'm trying to think what else. I really like the card system because you get little cards and it'll allow you to buff your character or you can play it against another character. And usually it's limited by the number of spaces you are away from the other characters, whether or not you can play it. Mm-hmm. This thing is simple, is easy to pick up, is difficult to master. Obviously, I have no trouble playing round around, knowing what I'm supposed to do, drawing the cards as I'm supposed to, doing my battles. I just can't seem to win any. I'm just not.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know either. But it's I like the combat system in it, if I recall.
Right.
It is free to play on iOS. They have in-game stuff.
What? Is it free to play on iOS? Armello?
Yes, but I don't know what the changes are to the systems to accomplish that. I don't know.
I don't like that. I feel like this is a game that you should pay a little bit for. I like the DLC model on this.
Well, they may have just. Well, I don't know. I'd have to look at them, but I'd have to compare them to see what they did. But I loved it on the PC. Played the hell out of it there.
Really, right? Really active developers. Mm-hmm. They've had a recent update as recently as December the 19th, and so I mean they have events going on all the time.
Yep.
It's well received game. Very popular.
Back in the day, they sent me a ton of codes for it, I remember, and we were pushing it like crazy. Yeah, this is back in like 2015. Those codes are long gone. But it's nice to see them still supporting it after all this time.
Right. Yeah. Velvet Lip in the chat room says it's back up to $20 for he's talking about the Nintendo Online thing. Yeah, $20 for per year, isn't it? It's not much.
Per year. It's not bad. Ends up being, like I said, like $4 a month. If you're playing online on there, it's no big deal.
Right. Currently, it's the only game that I'm really playing that I really want to play the online service for. So I just can't quite. Mm. It's not quite ready yet. Mm. Not quite ready yet.
Well, there you go. Armello.
Convince me, Scott. Convince me. Why do I need?
Because then you get all those old 8-bit games from the
SNES. But I have the NES. I have the NES Mini and the SNES Mini.
But you got a bunch of games on there that aren't on there, and they're going to keep adding them. So you're going to get like tons of games you can't get on your Mini. Just saying. Now you could go, you could go nuts and like, what do they call that
thing? I'm not hacking that.
Mod it. You could mod it. Yeah.
Nah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. It's probably.
I'm not modding that to play some of those old games like that. I'm not doing that.
It's a good point.
Too many new games to play to do that.
That's true. Let's talk about space because I love space.
Oh my God, you played space?
Yeah, I like a space game. The game that I tried out this week is called Between the Stars. It's a game I've had my eye on since they did a Kickstarter, but I did not realize there was a demo out that was a fully playable demo that you can download.
Downloaded it.
I had no idea. I got a code actually on Steam and I freaked out because I thought, oh, it's the whole game on Steam. It's just a code for the demo. But
what?
They are releasing this game. They say quarter one of this year. Rumors are flying around that it might be sooner than that. Well, it'd still be quarter one, but it'd be in the next like week or two. I don't know if that's true. I do know that they are speaking my language with this game. So here's the core idea. There's a story, but it doesn't matter. You're a captain of a ship. You can pick a lady or a dude. And on your ship, it's full of important, smart people that you don't have to manage too much, but there's a little bit of that. And then your jobs are always like, oh, no, we hear there's a disturbance out by the fifth nebula in the minefield. Go see what's going on. So you fly out there, and it's fully 3D. So this is a, 360-degree, fully 3D immersive sort of universe thing, not 2D, top-down or any of that. And you warp to the place where you got to go, and you've got this rad ship. It's all extremely pretty. And then there's a lot of cool combat where you got to kill these pirates because they're up to no good. And then they'll drop loot. You get that loot. You take it back to the station. You can sell stuff. You can build up stuff. They maybe drop a brand new gun you can put on your ship. And next time you're a little tougher. It's a little roguelikey in that if you die, don't worry. You take all your stuff with you and you can start over. You know, your next run's pretty good. But it's all very sandboxy. So you never feel like you're, you know, stuck. I hate the word procedurally generated, but the mission structure is very open-ended, very sandboxy, and it is delightful and funny. The other thing, it's funny.
I'm watching some of the video from it, and it looks heavy, and like the ships look heavy. It looks like it really moves like the ships would be in space, and looks like it'd be plowing through that stuff. However, I will say this.
What?
The characters are killing me.
Oh, they're cheeseball.
The people are cheeseball. They're hilarious. What's up with the people?
Yeah, the people are weird, but they're kind of great. The game actually made me laugh out loud a couple of times, and I never do that in video games. There is a funny sense of humor about it. They don't take themselves too seriously on that front. It's very much kind of a Captain Kirk sort of approach to things. And it made me laugh. So I think the writing's good. There's also kind of an RPG element when you get to like an abandoned station. We should send an away team. You put the away team out there, and now you're doing like almost Zork stuff. So it's like, there's a room. You can go left and do this, or you can push this button now and see what happens. So there's a bunch of that, and that's super fun to deal with. So RPG elements as well. Don't take my word for it. Go read up on it. It was a very successful Kickstarter. It's about to come through, and I can't wait for this. I would have backed the Kickstarter had I known about it. It was actually kind of an end of project boost of a Kickstarter because this was in like just this last October, so only a few months ago. So they were obviously well into development, and they needed just something to get them over the line, which is what I guess that's Kickstarter did, but. The fact that it's finally coming out is super exciting to me. So it's loot and upgrades and go do it again and fight a bigger thing and cheesy characters and just the cheesiest villain you've ever heard of, but he's awesome. It's cool, man. Space games. That's where it's at.
Space games.
And that game is called...
We'll be starting our new podcast next week called Space Games.
Between the Stars, available in demo form. I think it's worth playing. It'll only take you an hour or something. It's just a prologue. They want you to get, you know, a taste of what that game's going to be, and I am all about tasting it.
Can you taste it?
Brian, you had a few leftovers. You got a little Mario Odyssey on. You got your Red Dead Redemption. Did you get very far in either of those things since these were holiday game gifts for you?
Yeah, I actually got a pretty good ways into Mario Odyssey. Probably about maybe 30 or 40% in, so I mean, I'm doing fine. I've enjoyed it. Really not much more to say than what people have already said. I will say that I feel like in some of the lands, especially some of the earlier places I'm playing, I really feel like I'm walking way too much. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm having to walk way too far to get to my goals. I'm like, why are these worlds so empty? Mm-hmm. Why are they so? That's my only complaint. Otherwise, it's a great game. Yeah. I've had a lot of fun.
Right.
But I feel like I'm constantly walking. So I'm like, oh.
It's a lot of walking. A lot of slow horse riding.
What am I walking for? I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is this?
Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of walking. Do I get jetpacks later on?
No, you don't get any jetpacks.
Dang it. In Sunshine where you had a little water.
I'm trying to think. You will get stuff that'll let you traverse that world faster. You will not get that in Red Dead Redemption. You will not get any speed ups there.
Right. Okay.
You get a better horse for speed.
Otherwise, it's a Mario game. It's fun. I like doing all the silly Mario things. I like doing my little 2-jump, 3-jump. Woo! You know, you jump over really high. I like that. That's always a lot of fun. Yeah. Now, I played Red Dead Redemption. I only played maybe like 45 minutes or so, just long enough for me to get really annoyed with Dutch. If you don't stop rushing me, Dutch. Mm-hmm. I know this is your gang. I get it. But I'm still inspecting the cabin. All right, I like to take my time. I like to look around. Stop yelling at me. What are you doing in there? Leave me alone. And also, when you tell me to go look in the barn, I obviously think a outhouse looks a lot like a barn. And he yelled at me there too. I didn't like it.
Nice.
I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
You're mean, Dutch. You're mean. I don't like it one bit.
You don't like Dutch. Wait until you play Red Dead Redemption 1. You really learn what a butthole he was.
I did make it far enough to see Marston, and he's a little skinny stick guy right now. So if you haven't played Red Redemption 2, I suppose the part I've played so far, I've played as Arthur.
Yeah.
I'm supposing that's my
That's
my
all you're going to play. That's who you'll play.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. There are little segments in the game where you play somebody else for a quick little thing, but he's your guy.
Right.
He's your character.
Yeah. But I tell you, it's just like everybody else has said, it's just amazing. The depth is amazing. The things that just so much thought went into this game. Every inch of it feels like, you know, somebody took care, you know, and said, oh, we need to put something here. And they put it there and they loved it and built this fantastic, huge world. I'm having a lot of fun. I would like to get out of the snow some more. I'm hoping that.
Oh, you'll get out of the snow and you'll never go. You'll never see it again. Don't worry about it.
I figured that's coming along.
Yeah, you're very early in the game. The game feels early. Like you're like you can be 5 hours in and you're still getting tutorial stuff. It's weird.
Right, right.
It's a monster.
But it's beautiful. That's exactly right. I don't want to say too much about it because I want to play it in a big way and then come back and give my thoughts on it.
I haven't gone back to it in a bit. I need to.
Yeah.
I just got overwhelmed with other stuff, but it's the kind of game that says, hey, are you gonna play me? Yeah. All right, well, don't do anything else for the next 6 hours. Just sit here.
Exactly what that game says.
Yeah.
That's why it took me so long to get started, because I did not have, you know, 4 or 5 hours in a row, because I knew once I sat down, this is like, all right, because that's what I did. I got everything. It's like just like a movie event.
Yep.
You know, I got my food ready. I got my controller. You know, my controller fully charged up. Okay, good, good, good. I better go pee real quick. You know, I run pee and I come back. I'm like, okay, we got everything right. Perfect. Let's roll.
Yep.
And yeah,
it's a very plodding, slow experience. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yep.
All right. What's oh hey, guess my game time. You want to do this? Let's do this. Check this out.
It's a me, Mario.
There's our old buddy Mario. We're gonna talk about guessing each other's games. We've both picked a game that neither of us know what it is, and we're gonna try to guess. Brian, I'm gonna play mine first. I'm gonna give you a hint. Very old.
Very old. It's an Amiga.
Oh, you're so close. You're actually close.
Is it Atari?
You're close.
Oh, was I closer with Amiga?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to play it and you figure it out. Here you go.
Yeah, that's too smooth for Atari. That is definitely in the Commodore sound chip range.
Now you're getting there. You're getting there. I'll give you the hint is Commodore 64. What game do you think that was?
Oh, play a little more. Give me a little hit again. Wow, that sounds like so many games. Like they must have like hit the library for this thing.
I think that's all the thing was really capable of at the time, but
No, I'm serious. It's like the Commodore library of sounds. It's like, I don't know, put what you got here, son. Yeah. Ping ping pings, do that.
Yeah, there's like three sounds. That's all they have. So what do you think? Any guesses? They've tried to bring this game back many times. It's never really worked out. There's lots of attempts, no successes.
The start feels like Pole Position, but I know it's not Pole Position, and the rest of it kind of sounds like almost sounds like a space game or something.
The giveaway for me is this bit right here. Oops.
Wait. That's the part that sounds most familiar to me.
That part where it goes weep, that would be a giveaway for me.
Is it Zork 2 or something? Zork?
Nope.
It's not noisy enough for a Zork game, but nope.
Zork
maybe
was just
start?
Text. All that was text for Zork.
Oh, that is text? Oh, I'm thinking of, I'm sorry.
No,
I said
this,
Zork.
Yeah, Zork is all text.
What am I thinking of? Not Zork?
I don't know.
What's the name of the stupid space one that looks like it was based on Star Trek, basically. Not Zork. What was it?
I know what you mean. I played that too. I know what you mean.
But it's not that.
No,
okay, so
it's not
that.
It even looked like the little Enterprise. They couldn't do it legally, but yeah. I remember that. I don't remember what that was called.
Is it Gorf?
Gorf something else. Gorf's like
Gorf on golf?
Gorf's an arcade game. Gorf is different. And Gorf had voices in it. Gorf or Gorf,
right, right.
Blah, 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 something.
Star Trek C-64.
what was that called?
Zork. Zerg?
No.
Zor?
No.
Maybe it was this, the Star Trek. Maybe it was a Star Trek 64. Maybe that's what it was.
Maybe it was. Maybe it actually was maybe a Star Trek game.
It was just played on Star Trek.
Oh, see, it'd have to be C64 because the N64 had something too. Oh, here it is. Right. Oh, it was called Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gorf. And here's, not Gorf? Not what is Gorf?
Not Gorf. I don't know what you're talking about with Gorf. Here, I'll play a piece of it again. Okay, here we go. Hold on. What is going on? This website is terrible.
Yeah, Gorf is what I was thinking of. Gorf is definitely what I was thinking of.
Publish him or put him on, post him or something like that. 6. Raise a shield to say.
All right, this guy's a nerd. We can't listen to him.
Well, but it was definitely Gorf. I just looked it up. They hit me in the chat room, and they said Gorf, and that's what I was thinking of. I thought it was Gorf.
Gorf is a different game. Gorf is more like Galaga or Galaxian style game.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly.
In the arcade or whatever. Although they may have had a C64 version. Anyway, this game is Lode Runner. Lode Runner.
Lode Runner.
Listen to that guy running loads. See, he's running loads there.
Anyway. I can feel it now.
Yeah.
I can feel it. He's running his load. You know what you said?
Yeah. I was super into Lode Runner when I was younger and couldn't get enough of it. And I always thought it was such a cool game. I don't think I watch it now and I think, I don't know if I'd care about this now.
Like, I never had Lode Runner on the C64, but a friend of mine had it on, was it the 2E?
Maybe. What was it called? Apple 2E, maybe. Yeah, it was on all those early Apple 1, 2s. C64, probably even the Amiga, they all had a version of this running.
Right.
Atari had one. They all did. Like, it was a huge deal for a long time. But and as I remember, it was like random all the time. Like, you never knew where the guys were going to come down, and you could make holes anywhere you wanted, and then run your load. It was great.
Run your load.
Dorf on Gorf. That's a video I don't want to see. All right. Brian, I'm going to play yours and see if I can figure this out. Here we go. Oh,
yo, you got it.
That's
yeah, it is.
Wolfenstein.
Yeah, you got it. Wolfenstein. Yeah. What?
Spear of Destiny.
3D.
Oh, I was hoping it was the sequel, Spear of Destiny. No.
1992's Wolfenstein 3D.
Bruhoho, bruhoho, jawohl, nein. Like those guys always yell in German. They're the best. Yeah, yeah. Love those guys. I played that game till my eyes bled.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was cool. No, I mean, you know.
I don't have the latest. Are you going to get the new Wolfenstein this year coming out?
Is there one this year?
Yes, I'm ready for it.
Hold on. Sure, I
didn't play the last
year?
One. What was the last one?
Well, the new one I played, the last two new ones.
Right. There's haven't played the most recent one.
There's no Wolfenstein this year, is there?
Yeah, there's supposed to be. There is. I think there's supposed to be a new one. What is maybe it's just some DLC then?
Wolfenstein Youngblood? I thought that came out. New Colossus came out. Is it Youngblood I'm thinking of? Oh, you're right. Youngblood's 2019.
Yeah, Youngblood is about until 2019.
You're right. Right. BJ and his kids, or his daughters, his twin daughters are out running around doing stuff. That's what it is.
I'm interested in this, yeah.
I am too. I like those last two a lot. They're really good.
So I wonder if I should go back and play the ones I missed or just jump right into that.
I mean, the last two are really good, and I think this third one's probably very much based on it. Like, it's the same run here. I think they're worth looking at. You can get them cheap. Sometimes people have codes from Humble Bundles or whatever.
Codes. Yeah,
good game. Good.
I think I might even actually have it. Let me see. That would just be too funny.
It would be
like
funny.
I've probably gotten it from a Humble Bundle.
Look that up while I play. Whoops. While I play this. Hey, check it out. It's time for the news, and there's a tiny little story I want to mention here. We're not going to talk about Soldier 76 and his proclivities, okay? Because it's all too new. It's all too... Oh, let's see if I get an answer from my friend. I can't tell anyone, though.
Oh, I can't say anything, though, but I got some information that you'll never get out of me. Did he answer you, though?
Yeah, he did. I can't.
Oh, that's
say.
Great. Oh, so there's added to the mystery.
Let's just say
Scott
it this way.
Scott going. Oh,
Chris Metzen told me the answer. I am not going to tell everyone the answer.
That's hilarious. Oh no.
All right, here it is. Lego Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit are no longer available for sale. You can't get them online anymore. That's it. That's done. in a story.
But I got them already, so suck it.
For some reason, this has captivated a bunch of people's imagination, but a lot of discussion about this in the last couple of days. Lego Lord of the Rings and Lego The Hobbit are no longer listed in digital marketplaces. These games were obviously licensed adaptations of the movie, which used to be a very common thing in video games, but is less so now. Even though questions sent to Warner Brothers Interactive were unanswered, with boilerplate non-answer or no reason why they were taken down, it's no mystery or scandal. The licensing terms for selling these games expired at the end of 2018.
That was my guess.
He says, I said for some reason, above all, because it's not the only explanation that... because not only is the explanation very simple, we're not talking about Lego Silent Hill or Lego NCAA football here. Let's see. Steam charts list an average of 54.7 players of Hobbit in November. That's not great. Excuse me. 57 people played Lord of the Rings Legos in the same time. They both peaked at around 150. It's not a big deal. Goodbye. Goodbye to those. No, you still, if you own them, you're playing them. Just play them. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you didn't buy them.
I got the Batman and the Harry Potters. I got enough Lego. I got some Star Wars Lego. I got enough Lego gaming. I got that Indiana Jones Lego, which is the best one, if you ask me. Mm. That Indiana Jones Lego. That one's a good one.
Yeah, that one's all right. Actually, I did enjoy that one a lot.
Yeah.
I had fun in that one. I like that. I like the first Batman Lego one. I thought was good.
Yeah, that one's good too.
Anyway, those games all play.
We
the
got
same
there's putting enough Lego, and oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And if everybody was to clamor, we would we'd get another version of it.
Mm-hmm. This is all true. Let's see. That's it for that. Hey, quick email. Boopshow@gmail.com. Hey, Boop hosts. How come you guys never talk about any Xbox One game? Says Geroldermort. Geroldermont.
It's funny you should say that because. There is now an Xbox One S in my household, and as soon as the child who received it for her Christmas settles down, I will probably get on it.
Yeah, you should get on it. Get down on it.
Get down on it. Right now, the only thing that plays on that particular console is Minecraft and Fortnite. 24/7.
Well, we know what your kids are doing. I understand. Yeah, Xbox One, don't have one. So, can't speak to it. I can tell you that I've been tempted a few times, but not really. I mean, it's fine. I have no bones about its quality. It's great. The fans of it love it. My nephew, that's all he'll play because his friends are all on it. And it's great. I have no problem with that. But I cannot justify, in this generation anyway, keeping the PC going at top level, going hard on the Switch, which I think is a perfect companion piece to a PC gamer. And a PS4. I can't then go, yeah, and let's get that 316 or that Xbox One in here. And you may say, well, Scott, it's a video game show. You should have all the stuff. I don't know, man. It compounds every time you add one. It gets expensive.
I mean, not only expensive, it compounds in our discussions about the games. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm starting to think three new games every week is a hefty load. To really say anything interesting without really being able to get... Because I'll tell you, when I was going over Gris, when I was looking at reviewing it, this is what really hit me last week when I was thinking about how am I going to review this. I went and I looked at the first review that was already up to see what other people were thinking. Mm-hmm. And I read their review, and it was freaking amazing. Mm. It was just so spot on in the description. I was like, holy crap, I've got to get better at my descriptions. And I've got to be able to take a little more time with these games. And I don't want to get too deep because we don't want to be like a serious review show. But I need to be a little bit more picky maybe.
Sure. No, I understand. By the way, while you were talking, I got a little additional information that I'm still not going to tell anybody.
You're such a dick.
It's great, actually.
You're the worst. I love you.
I like having info that no one else has. All right. It's so rare in my life.
Tell me after the show. Send it to me in the Slack.
Maybe. I trust Brian.
Maybe.
Yeah, I trust you. Hey, check this out. You can email us just like Geroldermont. I don't know how to say his name. Geroldermont? Geroldermont? How would you say that name?
I like Geroldermont.
Geroldermont.
And Geroldermont, do expect a few Xbox game reviews this year. I will get there. I've even thought about taking my second... I have a PlayStation 4 Pro as well as a PlayStation 4 500 gigabyte original, and I thought about trading it in for an Xbox One just to
yank the chain just of the, sure.
Why not?
All right, there you go.
Anybody want to trade?
No, I don't. I don't have one to give you, even if I did.
Right.
Don't forget, we are at frogpants.com/boop. No giveaways after the show today. I've got another thing I have to get right on after this with Brian Ibbett and his crew, because they've got a thing I signed up for months ago, and I got to do it today. So that's happening right after the show today. I don't know if that's being streamed, though. I don't actually know. Anyway, frogpants.com/boop is our website. You can go there, hang out, be there, be a part of the fun, good times happening there. Because surely they're happening there. Also, boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. We're on Twitter at boopshow, boopshow.reddit.com. Brian, is there anything else I'm forgetting?
Hey, Scott, what are you thinking about playing next week?
Ashen and another space game or two.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. More space games, you buttholes. All right. Hey, that's it for the show. Thanks for joining us. Brian's at the Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson on Twitter. We'll see you next time.
Oh, what?
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam.